Hey there, thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, embodiment educator, and your host. Embodied Astrology is much more than a podcast. We are a thriving virtual community offering regular weekly and monthly classes, study groups, and more, exploring the intersections of astrology, creativity, arts, healing, and social change. Aries season has arrived, the astrological new year has begun, and we are headed into eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde. At this point in 2024, things are really starting to heat up. And as we look towards what's forecasted to be another hottest year on record, I'm guessing that many of you are ready for the kinds of changes that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. And you might be looking for ways to join forces with others who want to create futures on Earth that are vibrant, creative, and courageously committed to visions of reciprocity, reparation, and recalibration of values and power. At Embodied Astrology, we've been preparing to meet this moment. Beginning the weekend of March 23rd, we're launching a year of experimental programming that's geared towards shaping strategies for the future and crafting containers for new experiences of what community can feel like. Join us for a journey of experiential astrology, where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, and work with astrology to support your artistic and creative practices, navigate through conflict transformation and repair, reawaken your relationships to Earth and the cosmos, and take part in exciting and inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, your horoscopes. You're about to listen to your Aries season ahead reading, which is an excerpt from my 2024 year ahead readings. The 2024 readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. They offer an abundance of information and support to help you make the most of what this year is bringing. You can download your full-length reading today from the link in the show notes or find them in the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. All right, Pisces, we have made it to Aries season. This is the last of the seasonal readings that I will pre-record. And this is a big one. Aries season really brings it. Aries season is serving Aries. Aries as an energy, let's talk about it. Aries comes after Pisces. In Pisces season, I talked about Pisces as the liminal, as the pervasive, as gooey, porous, imaginative, dreamlike, creative substance that is unformed. When we get to Aries, we get to individuation. And so if Pisces is a metaphor for the ocean or the atmosphere, then Aries is the individuated body. The individual is entirely made of the everything. And to the everything, the individual will return. But while we are in our individuated bodies, we are here starring in our own show. Numero uno, me, myself, and I. So the feeling of individuation is the archetypal energy of Aries. I am. Say that to yourself in your mind right now. Tell yourself that you exist. Say your name to yourself. Feel the centering, locating qualities of acknowledging your own existence to yourself. When you feel that sensation of I am, imagine what happens when something is promised to I am or something is threatened. Our individuated bodies, our biological systems, are designed to move towards pleasure and away from pain. We are passionate, hungry creatures. And when we see something that we want, we tend to get focused on it and figure out in some ways how to go for it. That's Aries vibes. passion, focus, get it, let's go. It's mobilizing, it's activating. On the other hand, if there's something repulsive or painful, where we feel a very clear sense of no, our Aries instincts will kick up our reflexes and we will fight or we will flee. We'll get away or we'll do our best to get it away. Reflexes are very much an Aries kind of idea. Everybody has Aries in their chart. Everybody has Aries in their body. If we want to tune in with Aries in our bodies, we want to think about what compels, what motivates us, what moves us into action, and how that resonates in the I, in the me, in the mine. As the sign that comes after yours, Aries holds the second place in your chart. And the second place is all about possession, what you have. You have a body as an individuated person, and you have what's inside your body, your soul, your beingness, your personality. Your body and beingness are inherently valuable, and they are also inherently needy. In order to survive here on Earth, you need to feed your body. You need to feed your being. And in order to feed yourself, your value has to be recognized and, I want to use the word rewarded, but it's not the right word. And I don't know what the word is. You have to figure out how to get what you need. So the second place is the place of possessions. It's the place of what you have and also what you need and what you want. It is definitely associated with money, with possessions. And for me, it feels really important to reflect on the relationships between money and possession and self-regard, because what you have is also your self-esteem. It's your self-confidence. It's your inner sense of value, and it's also your values. If you don't have values around having a lot of money, but you have values around having a lot of time, then that's what you will try and collect, right? That's where your values are seeking to feed you. So values, value systems, and self-worth, really important for the second house. Anything that you have cultivated in your life in terms of skills, talents, and capacities, and that includes your experiences of survival, because you have had to learn how to get through some things, you have developed some skills and some capacities, we can definitely include that in what you have. The opposite place for Aries in your chart is in the eighth house, where Libra is. Libra is the opposite of Aries, and so if Aries is me, then Libra is we. If Aries is the individual, then Libra is relationship. Individuals don't happen alone, right? We need each other. We're here with each other. It is inescapable. We have to relate. We are relating all the time. The opposite of the second place is the eighth place. This is where you encounter other people's possessions, what other people have. Other people have money, maybe. They have needs. They have other kinds of skills, talents, capacities, what they have learned through their own survival. You get what you have and what you need through relationship. And what you have might even be something that other people need. And so there is a relationship between these two signs and these two places in your chart. And as we get into Aries season, this relationship is really important because Aries season is bringing eclipses. And the first eclipse we're going to get on March 25th is an eclipse in Libra. So the balance between your second and your eighth is highlighted in a pretty potent way. Eclipses happen twice a year and they happen in sets. So we're going to have two in Aries season, and then we'll have another two eclipses towards the end of the year. And the eclipses, eclipses are created when the Earth and the Moon and the Sun all align perfectly in some way that creates an obscuration of one of the luminaries for us here on planet Earth. So at a lunar eclipse, as we'll have on March 25th, the Earth is between the Sun and the Moon, so that's a full moon, and the Earth's shadow ends up eclipsing the Moon, the reflected Moon. On April 8th, we'll have a new moon and solar eclipse, and so then the Moon is between the Earth and the Sun. And the Moon will pass in front of the Sun, and this is actually a total solar eclipse. And so for a moment, as the Moon is passing in front of the Sun, people will actually be able to look directly at the Sun. And that's quite an experience. I don't know if you've ever seen a total solar eclipse. Some people really feel very strongly that they are not to be looked at, and so maybe you haven't, or you don't want to, but maybe you've seen pictures or something like that. So eclipses are profound alignments of bodies that do a thing here to Earth. Our relationships with the Sun and the Moon are really important, right? Like super important. Our primary lights, our luminaries, the Sun and the Moon make life possible on Earth. Without the Sun, we would just be a cold rock in space. And without the Moon, actually the Earth's orbit on it, or not orbit, its rotation on its own axis would be too fast to support life. The presence of the Moon pulls the waters on Earth in such a way that allows the rotation of Earth to be conducive and supportive to proliferation of life. How cool is that? And the Moon, of course, as you know, affects the tides. There's water, 70%, right? Is that it? On Earth, something like that in our bodies. And at eclipses and full moons and new moons, tides get more extreme. And at eclipses, they get really extreme. So eclipses are times that can heighten polarity. They can increase people's kind of like energetic expressions into polarizing extremes. People can like get in a mood. There have been some studies done on full moons and, you know, them being times when there are increased numbers of babies being born and increased numbers of accidents and stuff like that at hospitals. And the word lunatic comes from the word for the moon, right? Loon or luna. So eclipses can be times that are kind of weird, just energetically. And then symbolically, astrologically, eclipses are related with the idea of karma, consequences, cause and effect. And karma should be considered as something that is bigger than any of your individual actions. We are all inside of collective karma, ancestral and generational karma, and our bodies, you know, are products of karma, right? Choices that got made. And then, of course, the actions that we have taken or not taken in our lives produce consequences. And so the idea is that eclipse periods are times when karma gets really thick, karma gets ripe. And if karma describes cause and effect, then it is also describing patterns. And when patterns get thick, when they get really ripe, there is an opportunity to come into a different kind of consciousness of them. Now, I worked for a long time teaching movement to people and doing movement repatterning work. And so I worked with a lot of injuries. And of course, there are injuries that happen because of accidents, but in a lot of injuries happen because of some kind of repetitive strain. And even the accident-based injuries, some of them, you know, sometimes accidents happen and it's okay, but sometimes accidents happen and they like happen to a place that's already weak and there's already been some kind of repetitive strain. So then it can, you know, there's weakness there. And so over time, working with a lot of injuries, working with other people's injuries and my own injuries, I really started to respect injuries a lot as teachers. Because so many injuries, especially the repetitive ones, repetitive strain injuries, reveal what has already been there but unconscious. So, for example, I had a pretty bad knee injury at one point, and it was hard. It was not pleasant to go through, but it taught me about a weakness that had already been not just in my knee, but all the way through my leg. The reason why my knee was weak was because I have a weak arch in my foot. And so I had been standing on my foot in such a way that created strain on the connective tissue in my knee. And then it was affecting my hip. So my whole leg was kind of wonky, but I didn't know that. I didn't realize it because it didn't feel like anything. But then I injured my knee and then I had to learn about it. And that forced me to do rehab, and it changed how I stand. It changed my posture in a good way. So when patterns get thick, at times of ripening karma, sometimes we can get shocked into some kind of awareness, and something can happen and it's like, oh shit, that's a pattern. And then we might be compelled to do something about it. Consciousness can heighten and expand at eclipse times. Okay, so we go into Aries season, and right away, the eclipse points are activated. And they are activated all of Aries season from March 19th until April 19th. The eclipse points are called the nodes of the moon. This is where the moon is orbiting around the earth. So right away, eclipse points are activated. And then we have this lunar eclipse in Libra on March 25th. And so we know that the collective atmosphere is going to be heightened. And what is heightened in the collective atmosphere are themes around individuals and relationships, Aries and Libra. And in the kind of collection of symbolism with Libra, a really important symbol is justice and fairness, equanimity, balance, because relationships, you know, they take work, and we need some kind of practices to make sure that individuals are taken care of and are also accountable inside of relationships. And a main key word for Libra is justice. And another big key word for Libra is harmony. And that's an ideal for sure, both of them. But this is a full moon that's going to amplify a bunch of those themes. And this is also a full moon that is really resonating at a degree point in Libra that resonates with possibility modeling, role modeling, and learning through example. And so relationships are an incredible source of learning, and we can learn a lot by watching other people. This eclipse is stimulating your second and eighth house axis. And the north node is in your second house. That's the ascending point of the moon's orbit. And the south node is in your eighth house, the descending point of the moon's orbit. In astrological symbolism, where eclipses are representing karma. The north node is the direction that karma is moving, and the south node is where it's coming from. And so there's a feeling here of an evolutionary movement into your second house, into the place of possessions. And the first thing that comes up to me in this symbol is you need to value yourself, Pisces. What do you have? You have your body and you have your spirit. And your body and your spirit are inherently, implicitly valuable, intrinsically valuable. You have also lived in the same era that I have lived in, right? If you're listening to this, then we're alive around the same time. And so you've lived on Earth at a time when individuals' bodies have been, for a long time, enslaved, extracted from, turned into objects, and made into money-making kinds of machines. When our notions of what it is to be human in many ways, or to be successfully human, are so tied up in materialism and what we own in terms of like money and stuff. And there are huge cultural values all around the world around, you know, if someone has a lot of wealth, their value, you know, as a person is higher than someone who doesn't have a lot of material wealth. And that's so fucking distorted. It's so messed up. And it's true. It's like true that that's happening, right? And so at this eclipse, it also feels like this is a time that you really want to be conscious of the ways that your identity has been, I'm going to say, infected by a kind of like cultural values that would have you valuing yourself in completely distorted ways. So maybe you're valuing, you know, a lot of people are taught to value themselves like based on how they look, right? Like, oh, I'm a valuable person if I fit the cultural standard of what's beautiful. That's surface. It's meaningless. It's super meaningless. That has nothing to do with someone's actual substance. Maybe you've been taught that your value is in how hard you can work, right? Lots of people taught that their personal value is completely about how hard they work. Again, is that actually what's valuable about a person? Where has your concept of your self-value been shaped by cultural values or familial values that are distorted and that are harmful? And how do you want to untether your self-regard from those cultural values? It feels like this is a time to really like make some clear boundaries for yourself around how you will or will not value yourself. And you really want to take into account everything that you've experienced right now. And I want to encourage you to place value upon your experience, not in a way that is seeking to compare your experience with anybody else, but to recognize that your experiences have given you some kind of value and also values. Your experiences have taught you certain things. They have given you certain skills. They have instilled particular perspectives. Some of your experiences, I'm sure, have also given you some baggage, right? And it's important right now that you are in a place of discernment. And the discernment is around what's ego, like what is an ego trip and what is real. And ego trips are where you get really hung up on your idea of being a self. And where you compare yourself to other people and you either think that you're less than or more than, right? I'm better than that person because these are my values. I'm worse than that person because I don't have what they have. bullshit. All of it is ego. All of it is ego. This is an eclipse that really is asking you to tune in to what is really valuable in you, in the world, and what values do you want to carry into your relationships and into the spaces and the places where you share resources with other people. You share resources with people in all kinds of ways. Anyone you live with, right? You're sharing time, you're sharing space, you're probably sharing some amount of money or resources. You share with people when you give them information. You share with people when, you know, they pay you for something or you pay them for something. Death is often a place where a lot of sharing happens with inheritances and debts. And in the spaces where we share with other people, there's all kinds of psychology. So the eighth place is also the place where we come up against what other people have with their baggage, right? So you're not the only one whose sense of self-value has been messed with by all kinds of distortion. Everybody's sense of self-value has been messed with it. And so when you come into contact with other people and what they have, and when you're sharing together, undoubtedly you're going to get into ego kinds of spaces. You're going to get into insecurities. You're going to get into control trips and manipulation stuff. You're going to get into like scarcity experiences, right? And possessiveness. There's all kinds of stuff in the space where we are sharing with others. And this is a full moon that is heightening your awareness around these themes. And it is asking you for clarification, purification, and cleansing. It is asking you to release outdated notions in your self-regard and in your value systems. If there are ways that you have been valuing others in objectified ways, like, oh, you know, I really want to be that person's friend because like they have a lot of money. That has nothing to do with who that person is. Do you even like them? Do they treat you well? You know, like why? Why are you spending time with people? Why are they spending time with you? You want connections where the values are shared and clear, and where you feel valued, and where you are genuinely valuing others. So pay attention to what's coming up in these kinds of themes as we get into Aries season.
Astrology, like many things in our world, is a system that has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy, white supremacy, and colonial imperialism. But we're lucky to be alive at a time when this language is evolving rapidly and providing healing, insight, and support for so many people. Astro's current revolution is due to the scholarship and praxis of philosophers, mystics, and oracles who pushed and continue to push against the way things have been written, orienting instead to radical, queer, and creative potentials of this craft. Embodied astrology is firmly rooted in a lineage of evolutionary expansion and ancestral repair. Our teaching team and community center queer and diverse approaches to working with symbolism and engaging astral mechanics and magic. If this sounds like something you're looking for, we hope that you'll join us for the launch of our new program the weekend of March 23rd and 24th. We start on Saturday, March 23rd with a council session led by Sherry Taylor on the Femme Faces of Saturn. Sherry is a clinical psychologist, death doula, grief mentor, and practitioner of planetary allyship. This is her second year teaching with embodied astrology, and she's continuing in 2024 to deepen with the mystery school of Saturn's transit in Pisces. This special session sets the tone for a devotional cycle with Saturn and mythic mysteries of bone mothers and tenders of time. Drop in once and receive an initiation into your own practice, along with a workbook full of prompts and exercises. Or sign up for the whole series and commit to a journey that will reshape your understanding of how to work with this important energy of obstacles and integration. Sunday, March 24th, Embodied Astrology is delighted to welcome back acclaimed author, playwright, and artist astrologer Junauda Petrus for her third year teaching with us. In 2024, by popular demand, Junauda will be expanding her artistic alchemy offerings from quarterly workshops to a monthly series. Join us every month near the full moon for a sweet and soulful gathering where we'll work with the transiting lunar solar axis in our charts and in our hearts. We'll reflect on how we show up for ourselves, our creative devotions, and the realities of surviving in a world that is filled with both beauty and uncertainty. In these sessions, we'll practice staying grounded with the rhythms of astrology and spirit, channeling the wisdom of cosmic alignment, and opening to celestial guidance from ancestors as support for balancing creative life in the real world. You can always drop in to one of Junauda's monthly gatherings or sign up for the whole year and get access to a virtual communion space where you can connect with other creatively minded seekers. All of our offerings are recorded for those who can't attend live. Embodied Astrology is committed to financial accessibility. You can find scholarship codes right on our checkout pages for Sliding Scale, and you can always write to us for more support if finances are a barrier. Click the link in our show notes or head to embodiedastrology.com to learn more and sign up. And then from March 21st until February 3rd, we have an incredible support for you. This is wonderful. We have Venus in your sign. Venus is exalted in Pisces, and Venus is making all kinds of aspects. Actually, throughout Aries season, Venus is making all kinds of aspects, but Venus is in Pisces during this time. Okay, so March 21st through April 3rd, Venus in your sign, making all kinds of aspects with the outer planets. This is super supportive, I think, for these issues exactly. Some of you are trying to figure out how to get what you want and what you need right now. That could be money. It could be another kind of material resource. It could be attention. It could be love. It could be time. It could be something about a relationship. There's clear desire, and you also have a lot of attraction power right now. Venus is in your sign. The North Node is in the second house. You can call in what you want and need. How do you call in what you want and need, Pisces? You're clear about your values and you're clear about your self-regard. You are not maneuvering with insecurity. You're maneuvering from a place of full-hearted love, generosity, clarity about your values. Okay? April 1st through April 25th, guess what? We have a Mercury retrograde in Aries from 27 to 15 degrees of Aries. This is a great time to do budgeting work. Energy audits. Where are your resources going? Time, energy, attention, money. What are you invested in? What do you want to be investing in? Where are your resources going and where are they coming from? Major questions for Mercury retrograde. In Aries. During this time, you really want to be clear about your values. You do not want to be confused about them. And the major point of confusion that you're going to encounter is your ego trips. And the major point of confusion for your ego trips have to do with society, culture, family, history, things that are way bigger than you, and how you have been shaped inside of these systems. And this is a powerful time for you to be asking questions about, you know, how did you learn to be in relationship with money? How did you learn to be in relationship with your body, with your inherent implicit value? How did you learn to be in relationship with other people's money, with other people's bodies? What is really valuable to you? You know, ask yourself, like, get clear about it and ask yourself again and again and again. Take all of the Mercury retrograde that's April 1st through the 25th to ask yourself every day, what actually matters to me? your answer will change at least a few times. And if you ask yourself that question repeatedly in iterations, you will get to the depth of something. And once you get to that depth, that's what you want to invest in. In the middle of all this, about a week into Mercury retrograde, then we get the solar eclipse in Aries. This is it, you know? This is like the sun is being blocked out by the moon. Something is being shadowed. We can look at something in a different way because we're not blinded by it. You might not be blinded by the fantasy that you had of some kind of like bright, shiny thing that you thought was so valuable anymore. There may be a real feeling of like, okay, like I invested in that, you know, and now I've got it, and or I didn't get it, but I don't want it anymore. And you might also be struck by the feeling of, oh, this is what really matters to me. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the feeling of this is what really matters to me. And I think that this is the theme for you all of Aries season. And I think that this is a theme that carries into Taurus season. Because the first day of Taurus season on April 20th, remember Mercury is still retrograde, we get probably the most notable astrological event of 2024, which is the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus in the sign Taurus. Taurus is a symbol associated very much with wealth and with value. Jupiter magnifies things and Uranus awakens and it liberates. This aspect is happening in your third house of consciousness and learning and the mind. Throughout Aries season, I think that you are on the precipice of a pretty big breakthrough that has to do with value inherently, that has to do with possession. And I don't mean possession in an only materialistic way right now. First and foremost, I actually mean it in an energetic and a spiritual way. When we are self-possessed, we are centered, right? We know what our values are. We know where our strengths are. We're not out there in the external looking for other people to tell us that we're worth anything. Over Aries season, you are becoming self-possessed. And your self-possession can help you clarify what you actually want and need. And it can help you discern avenues towards attaining or cultivating what you want and need. And new ideas and then new possibilities are opening up from there. So please, Pisces, let this be a season in which you ask yourself every day, what is truly valuable to me? What really matters? And ask that into your heart. Ask that into the land and the soil where you are. Ask that in relationship with the sky and the trees. Ask that as you think about children, maybe your children or children on earth. Ask that as you think about animals and the many, many species that have gone extinct because of distorted human values. What is truly valuable to you?
Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Potowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program.
Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs 404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.